Amen. Good question. I hope we'll take it home and ponder it a lot in the days ahead. I want to follow on pretty much the same, idea, but I want an emphasis on the Word of God. Because it's that Word that will give us more of an appetite for the things of God. Didn't Jesus say he's the bread of life? I'm going to begin by reading. I'm not going to deal much with 2 John, but I want to begin by reading how John introduces this thought in 2 John. You pick the chapter and I'll tell you which verse. 2 John. No question about who wrote this, right? John, inspired of the Lord. But he says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. It's not my impression that this is a specific woman, but a church. And I believe the message applies to the church for us today. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. Notice, I'm going to read two verses, and notice how much emphasis John places on the truth. The truth is important, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's very important. So, John says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. For the truth's sake. It's good for us to know the truth. It's good for us to live the truth. It's good for us to show forth the truth in our life, in our choices, in our decisions, in what we do each day. Living truth. That's how we let our light shine, right? That's what letting our light shine is all about. The truth. The light of the truth that God has placed within us and shall be in us forever. What a glorious privilege and blessing that God has revealed his truth to us. What a blessing. That we are blessed to know him, to know his truth, to know the finished work that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has finished, that God purposed from the foundation of the world, to know the truth that Jesus came to fulfill that purpose for that people which were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, and he rose again for that people. Because in him we live and move and have our being. Because in him we are blessed with righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. Isaiah says it's like filthy rags. But God the Father made his Son. He said, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That's Jesus. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what we have in Christ. And we're blessed to know the truth of that. We're blessed to know that God purposed it, Jesus did it, the Spirit has brought it to us. We can rejoice in it. And nothing can separate us from it. That's the truth. You don't hear that truth in a lot of places today in houses of worship. Much of what you hear today is you've got to do something. You know, that God sent Jesus and Jesus did all he can. Now it's up to you. Are you going to lose out and burn in hell forever? That's not the truth. There will be some who will burn in hell forever. But it's not up to you. It's not up to you. The truth is that God provided for his people to be saved by the blood of Jesus. And there is no other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Right? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay? And then Jesus said in John 6:44, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. So we find that God has to be the one who takes the initiative to bring us unto him. That's the truth. How wonderful that truth is. But this word that God has inspired men and moved holy men of old to write for us, he had breathed it in them, he inspired them, he moved them to write these things. These things are the truth of God's word. It's preserved for us. It's kept for us. And how precious it is. And this word is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. And Ephesians chapter 2 says that we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The way that's worded, it tells us we don't always walk in those good works. But we should. Why? For the glory of God. For the glory of the one who had mercy upon our souls and has blessed us with these blessings and all the things that we have in life. They are a blessing from his bountiful hand. They're blessings because of his mercy. They're blessings because of his love for us. Why then cannot we show our love in return to him? That's our job. As the happy recipients of the grace of God, having the truth revealed to us, then we then need to spend our days. I know we've got responsibilities. We can work our jobs. We can raise our families. We can do all of those things with the kind of attitude and a heart that cherishes the things of God, that's thankful for the blessings of God, and looking to God for the wisdom we need to make our way in this world. That's what brings glory and honor to his name. And to do that, we need to know what God's will is. We need to know what to base our decisions upon as we go through life. So having said that, I want to notice some things about the truth. By the way, John 17 equates when Jesus is praying the high priestly prayer to God. In John 17, before he goes to the cross, he says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So when I'm talking about the truth, I'm talking about the word of God. So I may spend a little time this morning reading the word of God in trying to teach this lesson about the truth and how precious it is and how we ought to cherish it, how we need to be living it, how we need to be loving others who love the same truths that we do, that we can live in a way that's pleasing in God's sight, bring glory to his name, and enjoy life in the kingdom of God. Now, we've already heard much about the same thought this morning, but my heart is focused on some passages of scripture this morning and several aspects about the word of God. First of all, it's healthy for you. That ought to be good, right? It's healthy for you. Now, Paul said that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said, for bodily exercise profiteth little, meaning for a little while, but godliness. And the Word of God teaches us what godliness is all about. Do you know there's only two writers of the Bible that even mentions the word godliness? I checked on that this morning because I got to thinking about that, and I did a little search real quick. And there's only two writers in the Bible when Paul's writing to Timothy. It's mentioned in 1 and 2 Timothy, and then it's mentioned in 2 Peter. That's the only books of the Bible where the word, an English word, godliness, appears. Now, obviously, it's taught all through the Bible, every book of it. But the word, just a little side note there, the word godliness is only found in Paul's writings to Timothy and in 2 Peter. Chew on that for a while. Godliness. But Paul said, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Having the promise of the life that now is, we can enjoy it right now, and of that which is to come. We're going to enjoy it in heaven. But we can enjoy it. Don't wait till then. Don't miss out. There's so much of it available now. But it's going to be determined about the choices that we make.
That's true. That's true.
And this word feeds the inner man. And we need this word to live and enjoy the kingdom of God. All right? So Paul said, first of all, with the idea of the word being healthy, Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words. If it's going to be healthy for you, it needs to be pure, doesn't it? You know, there are so-called Bibles that have been adulterated. It's not good for you. It leaves out some things. It changes some things. And I used to be a lot more lenient on that than I am today. The longer I live, the more I appreciate that we have the King James translation of the Bible. The more I've studied history, the more I've studied the Bible, the more I see the hand of God in this translation. And just look at the benefit that it has been for so many generations. Some of these versions of the Bible that they're coming out with nowadays, they're just recently written, and you will never convince me that their scholarship is better now than it was when this was translated. One of the outstanding things that God did was he didn't bring together theologians, he brought together scholars. Scholars of the languages. Because it wasn't for them to interpret what it meant and write something down. It was just to bring it over from one language to another. And that's what we have today in the Word of God. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God's word is being preserved by God the Father so that his people will have it available to them as long as this world stands. And I'm thankful we've got it. And I wish we'd avail ourselves more to it. Because I think, based on what I've studied, my persuasion is the more of this word we're treasuring up on a daily basis, the more manifestation of the kingdom of God we'll see, the more manifestation of the kingdom of God we'll enjoy with others of God's people who love the truth, the more of God's light will be shining forth from our churches, and the more glory to God will be given. It all comes down to this. How much of the Word of God are we treasuring up in our hearts? And how much of it is, how much do we treasure it? As we've already heard this morning. How much? And we've already also heard, it'll go back to how much time we spend with it. If we neglect it, it ain't happening. Period. But if we're reading it, if we're treasuring it, if we're asking, Lord, I'm ignorant. I don't understand it. I need to know more. That's the person he'll show more of his truth. All right. So the words are pure. They're healthy for you. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we so oftentimes we'll deal with verse 5 and 6. But let me grab some of this. I said I might be reading a little bit. Proverbs chapter 3. Listen to, this is the inspiration of the Spirit impressing Solomon to write for future generations. It's been here for a long time for future generations. It's what we need. All right? Yes, Solomon turned away from it later on in his life. But God used him at this point in his life to write something that's good for all of us. And if we follow it, it'll be good. If we turn away, we'll be like he did. We'll be like he was. All right, chapter 3. I hope you found Proverbs 3 by now. My son, forget not my law. Isn't that the word of God? But let thine heart keep my commandments. Isn't that the word of God? Here's the benefit. For length of days and long life. Now, that doesn't be a that's not a promise that you're going to live to be 100 years old. But you know, I've known, every person I've ever known that was 100 years old really did love the Lord, and they honored the Lord, and they took care of their parents, and they, you know, it's just some things that I learned about, and I took that away in my mind because that's what the Word of God says. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. It's true. It's the truth. When he says that thy days may be long on the earth, you'll have much to enjoy in those days. Okay. They'll be full. And peace for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Those are the kinds of things we want in life, aren't they? A good life. Peace. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. That's pictures of how to keep it close. Keep it in your heart. Keep it close to your mind. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Wow. You know, we're not supposed to be living to impress anybody. But there'll be something good about our life that will be a blessing from the Lord and it will be a blessing to others around us. We're supposed to be good Christians. We're supposed to be loving one another. We're supposed to be doing things for others. We're supposed to have a spirit and an attitude. We don't want anybody to say, oh no, here he comes again. We want to have a loving spirit. A godly spirit. We want to be doing things for others. If we want to be like Jesus, then we need to give our life for others. Okay? Whatever way we can. All right? Then more familiar verses. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. I believe, Brother Jamie, didn't you mention something about the Lord directing us in your prayer? We need that. Yeah, I need that. You do too, whether you realize it or not. You do too. We need that because God knows everything. He knows what's around the corner. I don't. I don't even know what's on the other side of that door. He does. He knows everything. We can trust God to lead us. But we need to ask him. You know, obviously he watches over us and he cares for us in his providential way. But I'll tell you something, there's a whole lot more joy in life when we're asking the Lord to lead us. And then listening for that leading. And then putting some feet to where he says to go. It's a process, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. If you know anything about your physical health, you know how important the marrow is in the bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Oh, preacher, now don't start talking about giving. Yeah, the Word of God talks about giving. God has given us so much. Surely, we can return something to him. There's a benefit. It's healthy, a healthy exercise in acknowledging the Lord's blessed us and giving to him. So shall thy barns... Oh, I like to pair this up with Luke 12. Luke 12, that man, he was all interested in himself. What did he do when he had blessings? He tore down those barns and he built bigger barns so he could keep all of his blessings for himself. What happened? The Lord said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then whose shall all these things be? And then that next verse, don't forget that next verse. And so is everyone whose heart is not right with God. So is everyone. You cannot escape the truth of God's word. All right. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Now, if we're doing what Proverbs 3 tells us, it's the other side of the coin, isn't it? It's that which glorifies and honors God. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And that person is not being stingy with God's blessings, but he's having a thankful heart, a giving heart, a life that's showing forth the love God has given to us. We need this word on a daily basis to feed the inner man so that we know how to live in this world and make the right choices. You got thousands of choices every day of what you do. Some you take note of, some that just seem like they're just automatic. Some of them are out of habit. It would be good as much as we can to think about each choice we make as how pleasing is it to the Lord. Lord, is this what you would have me to do? Maybe it's something you've been doing for a long time, but is it pleasing to the Lord? Measure it by the Word of God. Measure it by the Word of God. Is it healthy for us as far as the Word of God is concerned? I'm just getting started and the time is about gone. All right. Doing those things in Proverbs chapter 3, to me, sounds like laying up treasures in heaven. I didn't say that, Brother Kenneth, to make you feel bad about taking the time. I don't feel like that. But these things in Proverbs chapter 3, when you're doing those things and when you're living a life according to that, then you're laying up treasures in heaven. Because didn't he say, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine? You're going to be blessed. Just like Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's laying up treasures. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Isn't that important? Yes, we've got that word hidden in there. We've got that word treasured up. We've got that word there to guide us away from sin. I should have turned it over to Proverbs 4 while I was at Proverbs 3. If you're still there, just look at the next one. Proverbs 4.
I'm having problems finding Proverbs. Let's just get verses 4 through 6. Proverbs 4, 4 through 6. Get wisdom. Proverbs 4, 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. These healthy words. These instructive words. These words that God knows we need to help us in this world. Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Live. There's a sense in which not only are these words healthy, but it gives life. It adds life. Now, you're not going to be born of the Spirit by the word, but it's going to add life and vitality to the life that God has given you. It will enliven you. That's why David in the Psalms oftentimes would say, quicken me. Now, sometimes we talk about quickening as new birth, the granting of the Spirit to us and raising us from a death and sins to a life in Christ, like Ephesians 2 and 1, when it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's one word, one way quickening is used. But obviously, David has already been quickened, and he's asking for quickening. And what that means is, enliven me, Lord. Make these things alive to me. Help me to see them. Help me to appreciate them. Help me to put them into practice. Quicken me. Sometimes we get slothful. Sometimes we get neglectful. Sometimes we're distracted. Sometimes we need to be stirred up. And this word of God is what we need to stir us up. All right, so he said, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. And there's so much more good words there, but I'm going to stop right there. It'll preserve us. In a sense, it'll save us. Want it. Now, I laid the foundation in the beginning that only the blood of Christ saves us from our sins. But Peter on the day of Pentecost told those folks, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Paul writing to the church at Philippi, he said, not as you've obeyed in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God has given us salvation, but he says, work it out. Well, one of the best ways I know to work it out is to have our nose in the book, in the Word of God, to be reading and asking the Lord to lead our mind and our heart. And he'll put impressions upon your heart. He'll put things in your mind that you've read that the Word of God will bring to mind and remind you of some things. There's just all kinds of ways that the Word will influence your day. And that inner man needs the diet of the Word of God. It needs the health of it. It needs the life of it. It needs the saving of it. It needs the Word of God so that that inner man can be strengthened and renewed day by day. And how many times have we missed that daily renewal? How many times, you know, and when you, if it's been a lot, then it tends to weakness instead of strength and boldness in the Lord. Some things are not a mystery. Some things God has shown us in his word. And if we would just follow that word, if we would just treasure it up and keep it in our word and follow it and do according to what he says. How did Jesus end up the Sermon on the Mount? You remember that? Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. And I submit to you that without the doing of them, you're not going to get all of what he says here. He's who heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. I'll liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. You know the wisdom of that, don't you? You know the wisdom of a good foundation. You know the wisdom of a strong foundation that will support the weight of the building. It's not going to be sagging. It's not going to be falling apart. Strong. We want our lives to be strong and capable of showing forth the word of life, of being instructed by the word of life, of following the word of life, to be not only for the blessing of our own house and our own family, but for the blessing of others, to be a good example of others or to others. I'm so thankful for others who've gone before me, who've lived a good life, a godly life, who put an emphasis on godliness for their demeanor. What a blessing. And we've lived in several parts of the country, and I've known powerfully good folks all over this country that loved God and followed his word and lived a good life. We need this so much in our world today. The people around you need for you to be that kind of a person. We need to be that so that we can build strong families, so that we can build strong churches, so that we can be a light in our community, so that the kingdom of God will have its influence instead of being put under a bushel because we're too busy living life to worry about the word of God. There's not, you know, I can see why we've got a lot of the problems in this country that we have. I can see that. And I can't live it for you. You can't live it for me. So let it start with me. Let it start with me. We've got all the instruction we need. Second Timothy 3:16, 17. 17 says that the man of God may be, well, verse 16, all scripture given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. And if you don't want to say thoroughly furnished, that's okay. It's just not the King James word. But that means the same thing. Thoroughly furnished. We've got all the instruction we need right here. Right here. If you have to, dust it off and start reading. That's where we find the instruction we need for a better life. A good life. When we treasure up those things, there's fruit that can be born. Fruit can be born. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, led out into the wilderness for 40 days, he didn't eat, he didn't drink. Try it sometime. I'll pass. I don't know, you know, that would affect you greatly, wouldn't it? Now listen, Jesus was a man. Now he's barely God, but he was a man. And when this was over, angels came and ministered to him. But it had affected him 40 days, 40 nights without food or water. You know, there's only three characters in the Bible that fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And all three of them represent some form of the Word of God. And as a matter of fact, you'll find all three of them on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus was transfigured, and there was Moses and Elijah. Elias, the New Testament word. Moses represents God's word in the law, the commandments. Elijah represents God's word in prophecy. Do you know the prophets didn't always tell the future? But they always told forth the word of God. That's the main meaning for prophecies, to tell forth the word of God. Jeremiah told some things about the future for sure, but he also told forth the word of God to a disobedient and a disobedient people that wouldn't listen. He also told them what the result of that was going to be. But getting back to the word, Moses and Elijah and Jesus. Well, Jesus is the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. But when Peter spoke up and said, Lord, it's good that we're here. Let's build three tabernacles, one to Moses, one to Elias, and one to thee. And Moses and Elias faded from the scene. And you know why that is, don't you? Because Jesus didn't come to destroy the law of the prophets. He came to fulfill it. And he fulfilled that. And so the word from heaven, the voice from heaven then said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The word that was made flesh. So when the word that was made flesh came, he was tempted of the devil. But nothing that Satan tempted him with had any impact on him whatsoever. There was no consideration whatsoever from Jesus about anything that the devil had to say. I'd recommend that we take the same attitude today. What is it that the devil's got that you want? Oh, he'll promise you everything in the world. Didn't he promise Jesus? You know, just fall down and worship me. All these kingdoms, I'll just give it to you. What if you had it all and lost your own soul? We're not talking eternally. We're talking about in this life. What if you made shipwreck of your life in this world? What good is that? Our Lord and Savior is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. He honored the Father. He said, I do always those things that please him. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And that's what he did. He came. He fulfilled the purpose of God. He finished the work the Father sent him to do. He saved his people. That's the truth. He saved his people from their sins. Someday when he comes again, he's going to raise us up and change us and fashion us like unto his glorious body and take us home to be with him. And there we will praise him forevermore, because we'll have a mind and a heart that can perfectly see the truth as it is, and we can't stop rejoicing when we do that. And the more truth that we understand and see in this life, the more we'll be rejoicing in God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the more we treasure up of this truth, the more we appreciate it, the more precious that it is to us, the more we'll begin to be praising him more in this life. And you know, you're not going to have any impact on eternity, but you can certainly impact this life. And that's what this word is for, that we might treasure it up, that we might live to his glory, that we may honor him with our choices, our thoughts, our decisions, our actions, our words, our feelings, our prayers, our praise, our life. It's all we got. Let's lead a life that brings glory and honor to his matchless name while we live here and now. Yes, it'll save you. It'll be good for us. Not only is it healthy for us, it's profitable. I quoted from 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul said, "It's godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." May God help us to realize that we need this word on a daily basis. I'm thankful that we, over the years of our lives, we've treasured up a lot of that word. We've got it in our hearts. But there's so much more for us to learn. And we're never going to learn it all this side of glory. But God set it up that way. You know, that would be foolish to think that we could learn everything there is about God and his word and then have to wait around to go to heaven. No, that's not going to happen. This word is deep. This word is rich. It's precious. May God help us to realize the truth that he has revealed to us is precious. And everyone to whom he's revealed this truth is precious. And so for the truth's sake, may God help us to live it for his glory. And when you do, it'll result in being a blessing to you. May God bless you is our prayer.